Thanks Radio's update with Christian Jones.
Hello, Faster Mike. Good afternoon. 5 o'clock on Thursday, the 30th of October. I'm Christian Jones and this is Update. Welcome into 30 minutes of all the latest news, sport and travel compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's newsroom. On the way tonight, what could the consequences of removing the bishop's vote be? A committee has delivered its final report. We'll also hear from the bishop and the MHK behind the proposal. Meanwhile, police have been holding a series of talks to combat large sums of money being lost to scammers. And the Isle of Man's Callum Brew has been crowned World Paradarts Champion. As always, get in touch with me. Text WhatsApp to 166 177 or email studio@manxradio.com. But first, let's get the latest headlines read by Darren Timpson.
A Tynwald committee has warned that removing the Bishop of Soda and Man's right to vote could lead the Church of England to reconsider the island's diocesan status. This report sets out the history and implications of the proposal, which would retain the bishop's seat but remove the vote. The Department of Home Affairs has welcomed the conviction of a 25-year-old man described as a key figure in an international organised crime group that targeted the island's immigration system through fraudulent visa schemes. Sargar Jun has pleaded guilty in the Court of General Jail Delivery to breaching immigration law. Over 2 million of financial loss through scams has been reported to the Isle of Man Constabulary in 2024.
Your average link will be blue, writing and underlined, like that's your generic link. Now they're like making it in the unsubscribe button, so you click unsubscribe and it'll take you to malicious link.
That's PC Shona Hardman. More than 9,000 emails were sent to the suspicious email reporting service too. Special Olympics Isle of Man is celebrating a big milestone this year. The organisation, which offers people with disabilities new sporting opportunities, is marking its 40th anniversary. In international news, the Conservatives are calling for an investigation after the Chancellor failed to obtain a £900 licence to rent out her South London home when she moved into 11 Downing Street.
Nobody knew about it. I was the one who actually told people that that was something that I did. I came out and said, by the way, I did it on video, this was something I did in my 20s. We're not talking about something that Rachel Reeves did in her 20s. We're talking about something she's doing as Chancellor after she became Chancellor.
Rachel Reeves has apologised, with Sir Keir Starmer insisting she's taken responsibility and the matter's now closed. The UK is arranging charter flights to help British nationals leave hurricane-hit Jamaica, where commercial services remain disrupted. Hurricane Melissa was one of the strongest Atlantic storms ever recorded, flattening communities across the Caribbean and killing at least 34 people. And the Prince and Princess of Wales have won a legal case after photos were published of their private family ski trip. According to Kensington Palace, William and Kate were successful in French legal proceedings against the owner of Paris Match magazine. Those are the update news headlines. Next at 6.
Darren Gurumayed, thank you. Let's take a look at the weather now, brought to you by Manx Gloss and Glazing. Mostly dry this evening, but a band of heavy rain will arrive later in the evening as the southeast winds increase strong to gale force. The rain then soon clearing away overnight as winds swing to the south and east a little bit. Temperatures tonight no lower than 10 degrees Celsius.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbridge Trading Estate.
TE Cubbon provide new memorial stones, grave renovations, new inscriptions and fire hearths. Visit us at Hope Street, Castletown or at Broadway Douglas or call 844-440. TE Cubbon, here when you need us.
At Bond Fabrics, we're not just a fabric shop. As well as curtains and upholstery and dress and costume fabrics, we've knitting and crocheting wools, made to measure curtain and blind service, plus poles and tracks. Visit Strand Street, Douglas, call 611-856 or see bondfabrics.in.
Most builders start with a hammer and saw. Manx Construction start with ideas and imagination. For new build, extension or home office, Manx Construction offer full service from planning to completion. Call Tony on 452 688.
If you have children, pets or a house, talk to Peace of Mind about a will or power of attorney, which will help family members when it matters. Prices from £199 plus VAT. Find us on Facebook or call 632 610.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
5:05 on Manx Radio's update. Welcome to the programme. We'll start with a new report from a Tynwald committee which has outlined the potential consequences of removing the Bishop of Soda and Man's right to vote in the island's parliament. The issue has sparked plenty of debate in recent years, and this latest report will undoubtedly see more. Lewis Foster is with us now. Let's start by looking at what is at the heart of this.
Fastamai, Christian, well, the committee was set up by the Legislative Council to examine the Isle of Man Constitution Bill 2023. That's the proposal brought forward by MHK Laurie Hooper to remove the bishop's voting rights while keeping the seat in both the Legislative Council and Tynwald Court. The report doesn't take a side, but it does warn that if the vote was taken away, the Church of England could reconsider whether the island should continue to have its own diocese.
Okay, so potentially quite a significant constitutional and religious consequence.
Yeah, the Archbishop of York told the committee that removing the vote would significantly undermine the case for a separate diocese of Sodor and Man. One possible outcome, he said, could be that the island is absorbed into an English diocese, which would mean no Manx bishop sitting in Tynwald at all.
And what does this report say about how much influence the bishop's vote has actually had? Because that's been a bit of a sticking point for some.
Yeah, so the committee looked at decades of division records and found the bishop's vote has rarely been decisive. In fact, very few instances were found where it made a difference to the outcome, and even fewer where the vote went against the will of the House of Keys.
And do we know what the current bishop thinks of all of this?
Reverend Patricia Hillis told the committee that having a vote provides accountability and transparency. Her decisions are recorded publicly. She warned that removing it could reduce the perceived importance of the role, and she said she tries to bring a moral and humanitarian perspective to Tynwald debates, not just a religious one.
Okay, well, let's just bring the bishop in here quickly. This is Patricia Hillis speaking to Manx Radio.
I know that every person who serves in Tynwald, especially House of Keys members, won't want to simply represent their local constituents, but will have a mind to the whole island. That's true of everyone who sits in Tynwald, we hope. But I think there's also a particular opportunity for someone who comes alongside those colleagues to be able to help shape the life of the island for good through listening, through attending, through trying to find helpful ways that connect communities and that speak out of those communities, because these things are not simply about the point of view of the bishop as an individual, but the bishop who is rooted deeply in the many communities around the island.
That's Reverend Patricia Hillis speaking to Manx Radio there. Lewis, just finally, where does this leave things now?
So the committee's report stops short of making any recommendation. It simply lays out the evidence, the history, the consultation and the potential consequences, leaving the final decision to LegCo. And that vote, in theory, is going to be happening on Tuesday.
OK, Lewis, thank you. So Tuesday could see LegCo decide whether to keep a centuries-old tradition or to reform it. This report is still very new, only just published today, more than 200 pages long too. One person who likely will have gone through it, even perhaps meticulously, is Ramsay MHK Laurie Hooper. He was the driving force behind the bill and has campaigned at length, as we just heard from Lewis there. I started by asking for his reaction to the report's conclusions.
It's an interesting one because it doesn't seem to make any recommendations. So it seems like they've gone away and done quite a lot of work, spent a lot of time on this, but didn't seem to come to any conclusions, which is quite interesting. But it seems then that means they're not really objecting to what's being proposed, which I think is a good thing.
And the committee's findings suggest removing the vote could lead the Church of England to review the future of the Diocese of Soda and Man, potentially ending the island's long-standing link with its own bishop. Is that a risk worth taking?
I've never been truly convinced that's a risk, because the bishop remains a member of Tynwald Court, and actually that's quite a valuable thing to have. I think if we were talking about abolishing that membership, I think they might have a point there. But I'm not convinced that having the vote itself is going to cause that to happen. Obviously, the church is more than welcome to review its own setup and its own structures, and I think that's kind of the point. Really, is Parliament and the church are very separate organisations. They should be separate organisations, and so if the church wants to make changes to its structure, they are free to do that at any time. And actually, the bill, I think, for the first time, puts down in statute that the bishop is a member of Tynwald Court. I don't think that actually is specified in the same way as the bill does. So the bill itself will reinforce that membership.
But if the church were to review it and then say, no, let's withdraw the bishop, would you see that as a loss for the island?
It's an interesting one, because I actually think the bishop, and obviously I've been in Tynwald now for 10 years, and we've had a couple of bishops in that time, and I think you do get some quite valuable contributions, actually, from the bench. So I have no particular concerns in that respect, in terms of the contributions being made. So it does open up some interesting questions, I suppose, in terms of whether or not, by putting this bill forward, we are actually in some way securing that membership for the foreseeable future, because we'd then have to go and change the law again to remove the bishop entirely from Tynwald Court. And I don't think there's much appetite for that.
Final thoughts. If the Legislative Council ultimately rejects the bill, is this the end of the debate for you?
If the Legislative Council rejects the bill, that's absolutely their call. When I proposed this, it was not meant to be something that took a massive amount of time. It was a very straightforward question. It was a question about principles. In principle, should people in Tynwald be elected or not? That was the core principle. Every other member in Tynwald that has a vote is subject to some form of election process. So, I think if Legislative Council make a decision to say, no, we don't want to progress the bill, that's probably where it will stop for the time being. I'm not minded to invest significant amounts of additional time in it. So there's no point going back to the House of Keys and trying again.
Ramsey MHK, Laurie Hooper speaking there. Well, we can now join our religion correspondent, Judith Lay. Hi, Jude. First of all, thanks for taking a few moments out. You will have just heard Laurie Hooper there. What's your takeaway from that? Because he believes it would be a loss for the island if the bishop were to be withdrawn by the church. But in the same token, the report suggests a review of the diocese may be likely.
Yeah, first of all, Christine, and thank you very much for inviting me to make a comment. I must stress that what I'm saying now are my personal views. I'm not gifted to speak for any denomination. There's just one little thing that I heard Mr. Hooper saying there about Parliament and church being separate. Now, actually, the church would see that very differently. We would see the church as wanting to have influence in a good way. You know, we see the island life as all together, that there's no distinctions. But anyway, what I'm really at a loss to understand is what damage is being done to us by the bishop having a vote. You know, there isn't any evidence that the bishop has used their vote frivolously over the years to disrupt the business of government. Indeed, the Select Committee's done some very thorough research going back over the voting record of some five bishops. And when they voted against the will of the Keys, they've certainly not been alone in doing so. You know, so there isn't any evidence of, you know, frivolous use. And, you know, with the greatest respect to Mr. Hooper, I think he's mistaken. You know, if he believes that the bishop's vote can be removed and then, you know, it'll probably be business as usual for the Diocese of Soder and Man, it won't. The Archbishop of York has said quite clearly that he will look, the future of the diocese will come under intense scrutiny if the bishop's vote is withdrawn. You know, that's not just a bit of sort of low-grade blackmail. It is a reflection of the importance that's placed upon keeping a voice for a balancing independent presence in government who's got a wide experience, a unique role in the community, and no political agenda. But it's keeping that voice that will keep that presence there. And, you know, something else that crossed my mind was the Roman Catholic Archdiocese of Liverpool stretches around the northwest of England, covers the Isle of Man, and they've made St. Mary's Church here in Douglas into a co-cathedral, an act that says, you, the Isle of Man, are part of the Archdiocese of Liverpool, but you're a separate country, and the creation of a co-cathedral acknowledges that. So at the same time, we've got one denomination publicly acknowledging that, you know, we're a separate country with all the uniqueness that implies. We're also saying that here we are on the brink of making irreversible changes to this historic Anglican diocese. And make no mistake, you know, once we get put these changes in motion, if we do that, there will be no going back.
Jude, thank you so much. That was Manx Radio's religion correspondent, Judith Lay.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
Now, a man described as a key figure in an international organised crime group has been convicted of breaching the island's immigration laws. The Department of Home Affairs says the case shows the Isle of Man will not tolerate abuse of its visa system. Darren Timpson's here with more. Hi, Darren. What can you tell us?
Yeah, first of my Christian. So the man at the centre of this case is 25-year-old Sagar Jun, who has pleaded guilty in the Court of General Jail Delivery. Between March 2022 and June 2023, he and others were found to have produced fake job offers and falsified entry certificates, charging victims up to £25,000 for visas linked to jobs that didn't exist.
And all of this came to light thanks to a tip-off, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly. A member of the public raised concerns, which led to a joint investigation by the Immigration Service and the Constabulary. It uncovered a sham company called Destiny Manpower Consultancy that had been used to deceive vulnerable people looking for work.
Right. Next steps. What happens for Sagar Jun now?
Well, he's due to be sentenced on the 5th of November, when the court will also consider deportation and exclusion orders. The Justice and Home Affairs Minister, Jane Paul Wilson, says the conviction sends a clear message that the Isle of Man will not tolerate abuse of its immigration system.
All right, Darren, thank you very much for that. Let's take a look at the travel now.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Well, let's have a look on the roads to begin with. In Onchan, temporary lights on Whitebridge Road at the junction with Windermere Drive, 24 hours a day. Over in Douglas, temporary lights on Tramode Road, that's near Douglas Avenue, also 24 hours a day. Let's take a trip over to Braddon. There are temporary lights on Braddon Road, just up from Braddon Bridge, for work on the entrance to a new residential development. And in Santon, the Mount Murray Back Road is closed for the building of a concrete underpass for the Comus Hotel and Golf Club. Over at the Steam Packet, tonight's 7:15 trip from Douglas to Heysham won't be going ahead due to gale force winds. The Steam Packet company says there could even be further disruption to the 1:45 and 8 o'clock services tomorrow morning, still at risk. Over at the airport, a quick look on the arrivals board. Nothing to report there, but on the departures, the 5:20 Aer Lingus to Dublin, that has been cancelled.
Ask how you can spread the cost interest-free at Quayside. Want to give up smoking? October is Stoptober, the national campaign that encourages smokers to quit during the month. And if you can manage 28 days without tobacco, you're 5 times more likely to quit for good. But whenever you quit, remember, you're not alone. Help is available, and thousands of people like you have quit and now enjoy a healthier and wealthier life. To find out more, check out the latest Manx Health Matters podcast, now live via the Manx Radio website or your usual podcast provider. It really is a breath of fresh air.
You're listening to the Isle of Man's quintessential daily news and current affairs roundup. Update on Manx Radio.
18 minutes past five on Manx Radio's update. Now, do you know the difference between phishing, smishing and vishing? Well, they're all methods used by scammers, and island residents are continuing to lose significant sums of money to online fraud. In 2024, for example, more than £2 million in losses were reported to the police, along with more than 9,000 suspicious emails and nearly 500 cyber concerns. This month, the Eastern Neighbourhood Policing Team and the Cybersecurity Centre have been holding talks for older and vulnerable residents to raise awareness of those threats. We'll hear from Sam Hudson from the Cybersecurity Centre in just a moment. But first, here is PC Shona Hardman.
Now, I get quite a lot of emails from retailers because I do a lot of shopping. When I get too many emails, I like to unsubscribe from those emails. What they're doing is they'll encrypt the link within the unsubscribe button, so your average link will be blue writing and underlined, like that's your generic link. Now they're like making it in the unsubscribe button, so you click unsubscribe and it'll take you to malicious link. So the advice we're giving out to people is don't click on any contents within, because you don't know where there might be a hidden link.
A lot of people, when they see a bogus email, they think the best thing is to block the email that's going to block that specific email address. But a scammer is only going to use a particular email address for a short period of time. The best thing is to mark it as junk. So what that does is if the email, if the button is pressed, which might be report spam or report junk, that'll move it to the junk folder. It should also train the spam filter. That means that if anything comes in the future, it's more likely to only appear in the junk folder where it needn't be seen.
A lot of us love shopping online. You said it's actually safer when you check out as a guest as opposed to actually filling out and logging in on your profile. How come?
If you go through a guest checkout, you're supplying less information and also doing it under a scenario where that's not necessarily going to be kept in the same way. Whereas if you create an account, it's a permanent record that the company's keeping. So what you're doing there is you're reducing the risks to yourself of there potentially being a data breach of that company where a hacker might obtain those details from that company. If the company holds fewer details for you, then that reduces the risk to you in the future.
Sam Hudson from the Cybersecurity Centre there, and before that was Shona Hardman. Something to just make you aware of, the phone line for the Manx Emergency Doctors Service is going to be unavailable between 6 and 7 tonight, and Manx Care says that's due to essential works being carried out by Manx Telecom. Now, it's a landmark year for Special Olympics Isle of Man, which is celebrating its 40th anniversary. The organisation provides people with disabilities the chance to succeed, grow, make friends through sport. Its acting sport director, Pete Corkhill, says they've not just been able to support athletes, but have a positive impact on the wider island's community.
I think it means a great deal, not just to the coaches, but to the athletes as well. 40 years is such a significant period of time for an island of our size to have had our own team competing in international events in disability sport. But that 40 years isn't just us competing in international events. It's 40 years of community. It's 40 years of belonging. I know that when we first set up, we were competing under the umbrella Northwest England. And I think that's certainly one of the most seismic changes is us gaining that independence to compete under the Isle of Man flag. I think since that time, the understanding and appreciation of disabilities and the integration of people with disabilities within society has come on a huge amount. That being said, there's still a long way to go, but I think the visibility of people with disabilities, the interest that the local press have taken, not just the press, but the community as well. The Isle of Man community does take a great interest in Special Olympics Isle of Man and has very heavily supported us throughout that time as well. We wouldn't be able to do the things we do. Our athletes wouldn't be able to travel the world and compete in the events and be their personal best if it wasn't for the generosity of the Manx public.
The community aspect of it that has built over 40 years now, what does that mean to have that community?
I think it can't really be overstated just what an immeasurable difference that makes to our athletes' lives and to their families as well. With the island being the size it is, everyone's within a relatively close proximity to one another, which again is a massive safeguard and allows people to maintain contact with friends. What Special Olympics provides is an opportunity to maintain friendships through sport, but it also provides families with a community as well. Parents and siblings of people with learning disabilities have got to meet other parents and siblings of people with learning disabilities, which has led to them having a support network as well.
Get the full story. Tune in to Manx Radio's newscast for in-depth interviews behind the headlines. Find the newscast now at manxradio.com or your usual podcast provider.
Let's turn our attention to sport. The Manx Rams national netball side will, for the first time, take part in the Singlife Nations Cup in Singapore from later this week. Among the sides they'll face are the national squads of Kenya, Malaysia and Papua New Guinea. Rams co-captains Ashley Hall and Rachel Johnston.
So I think the biggest change that we've had is we've got a head coach and assistant coach who are based in the UK, so they come over maybe once a month. So we've changed more to like a camp setup. So we're training on a Friday, Saturday and Sunday once a month. So I think that's been really good actually in terms of we get the team together and we can really work on things for a whole weekend. We've also had a lot of new team players come in, and so it's been a really interesting time.
The other nations you'll be coming up against, how good a test do you think it'll be?
Yeah, they're new teams. We haven't played them before, so we're really looking forward to having new opponents. But I think three are ranked higher than us in the world rankings, so it's going to be a challenge, but one that we're up for.
It is a bit of an unknown that you're going into, like, say, teams that you've not played before. Is that almost refreshing in some way, that you've not necessarily got anything to work on, you can just focus on what you're doing?
Yeah, definitely. I think for the last few years we have played teams over and over again, and sometimes you kind of get into a rhythm of results and then that creates pressure, whereas this tournament we've never played these teams before. It's probably probably going to be a very different style of netball that we'll be playing against as well. So it's just an opportunity for us to go no fear, underdogs, see what we can do.
There's a couple of new additions that have been getting involved, whether it's, you know, training side or maybe actually going on the journey as well. How have the newer additions bedded in with those of you with experience of these sort of events?
I think they bed in really well. We play with these girls at club. We play against them at other clubs. Although they're new to the squad, we know each other from netball on the island, so it works really well. But we're all learning new tactics all the time, so whether they're new or not, or whether we've got experience, we're all learning.
What objectives, if any, have you set yourselves for this particular tournament?
I think for us, it's about just going out there and playing our game. You know, we have prepped over the last few camp weekends, and it's just going out there and playing the Manx Rams way, really.
Manx Rams co-captains Ashley Hall and Rachel Johnston there. We'll stick with sports, and we can say fast am I to Rob Pritchard.
Fast am I. So first off, Manx Paradarts player Callum Brew has become a world champion. The Ireland competitor has taken top spot in the standing competition at the 2025 World Paradarts Championships after a 5-3 victory over Dutchman Stefan Bakker in Budapest, Hungary this afternoon. This success comes just 2 days after Brew also won the standing tournament at the 2025 Hungarian Paradarts Masters in the same city. Meanwhile, fellow Manx Paradarts player Darren Kenish has finished as runner-up in the wheelchair competition of the World Championships as he reached the final before a 5-2 loss to Vincent de Hont. Kenish came into the tournament as the number one seed for that event. Well, both Brew and Kenish were also involved in the 2025 World Paradarts Masters at the same venue yesterday. Brew reached the knockout stage before being defeated in the first round, whilst Kenish was unable to make it out of the group phase. In motorsport, Isle of Man TT winner James Hillier is planning to contest the grueling Dakar Rally for a third time next year. The rider from Ringwood has announced he intends to compete in the OBM category in 2026. This, he says on social media, will mean he will be by himself and will be responsible for all maintenance and service of the bike between stages. Now, Hillier is on the lookout for any people or organisations which could help financially support him for the challenge. Back in 2023, he became the first TT winner to take part in and complete the infamous race before battling through mechanical issues, illness and injury to finish the challenge again earlier this year. And in hockey, mixed Premier League defending champions Backers A have maintained their perfect start to the season with a big win over their nearest challengers. The Douglas Bay side beat Castletown Celts 9-1 in a rearranged meeting between the two at King William's College last night. Both Andy Whiting and Shea Christensen scored hat-tricks, whilst there were also goals from Elliot Reid, Jamie Brown and Lucy Cartwright. George Powell netted the only goal for Castletown.
Good mind, thank you, Rob. What do you reckon? Do you reckon you could do the Dakar Rally?
Oh, no. I think even if I was qualified on a motorbike, that's a different kettle of fish.
It's tough, I've heard.
It is. That's all you hear about. That's why it's got the reputation it has. But of course, then for those who complete it, it's an incredible achievement.
Absolutely. Well, that's it for Update this evening. Thanks very much to Darren Timpson. Up next is a special programme with John Moss. Stick around for that. From 6 o'clock, Chris Kinley has Greatest Hits, Morris Powell in the hot seat from 9 o'clock. And then, of course, Rhianna Evans with you from 10. I'll be back with you tomorrow, same time. So until then, take care. Bye-bye for now.